All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, coming to you on a Monday night, immediately before the third week of Age of Triumph. That means we have so far passed Crota's End, past Vault of Glass, King's Fall is upcoming, and that means that this episode we're going to be talking about all the King's Fall weapons. It's just me and Kit Kutcher tonight, but we do have some good news. NK Cougar is going to be joining us again at some point in the upcoming weeks. He is getting back into Destiny, and we are all very happy about that. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Iron Banner weapons that are coming this week, since Iron Banner will be back, going to be dividing everybody's time, maybe hopefully pulling some people back into PvP who've been mostly focusing in PvE, which I won't lie, I have been doing a lot of PvE and not too much Crucible. But in the meantime, we've got some news on the Patreon front. Kutch has done a raffle for those people who have helped us, supported us. He's going to announce a winner. And we're going to do a role breakdown for one of the people who donated. We're going to get that out of the way, and then we're going to go right into it. But first, introductions. Kutch, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Merc. I'm doing fantastic, man. Been super, super busy lately. I'm really just been excited to sit down and focus back on Destiny. Spend some time getting back into this game that we love. Bungie, I tell you, their timing kills me. This all came out in a period when work has just been insane, and I've been super busy at home. So I have been like majorly missing out on raid time. But I did at least get a little bit of Vault of Glass in this week, so I was really happy about that, and I can't wait to dig into everything today and get back into King's Fall this coming week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Most people, King's Fall tends to be a kind of unpopular raid because it is so technologically sound. It actually requires every person to know what they're doing. It's really, really hard to carry people through it. Whereas Crota, you have two, maybe three people. I mean, realistically, Crota, if you have one person who really knows what they're doing, they can probably get everyone else in a line. If you have three people, it's a breeze. That's basically all you need. You know, Wrath of the Machine is kind of similar to that. It takes about half the people. Vault of Glass is the same, but King's Fall is one of those raids where every single person needs to know what they're doing. So a lot of people aren't looking forward to it. I, on the other hand, it is honestly one of my favorite raids. I absolutely love it. I went into it, not LFG though, I went into it with an experienced raid team who I'd played with before. Absolutely loved it. Really looking forward to doing it again. But before we dive too much into the raid stuff, let's get this Patreon thing out of the way.
Yeah, so our Patreon kind of took off this last month. Very excited about that. It was really just out of the blue. We got some really generous Guardians helping us out, helping to cover the costs of our hosting, as far as audio hosting to make these episodes available to everybody out there, and also hosting for our website where we post up those episodes along with additional show notes and other Destiny information to help you all out. That's a I guess I should mention DestinyMassiveBreakdowns.com every now and then on the podcast, just to point people that way for some extra info after the episode. Diving into it, though, we've got some Guardians to thank here, so I do want to go ahead and get that done first. So big thank you to Tankacito, to Inquasi157, and to A Wintry Mix. Those are our patrons on Patreon. Whew, that's a tough thing to say, and just really appreciate all of them helping us out, making this thing happen week in and week out for you guys. If that's something you're interested in, you can head right on over to Patreon and search Destiny Massive Breakdowns. Check us out. We've got some rewards there, and we've got some good Guardians you can hook up with there as well. Now, one of the rewards that is available to our patrons is a on-demand role review as part of this monthly Patrons Corner. And so A Wintry Mix has opted to take advantage of that, and I'm very excited to do our first patron role review here on the Massive Breakdown Podcast. So let's take a look at what he has here. He writes, "Got a Luna to drop in Crucible yesterday, and then another one from the Hand Cannon Bounty. This is the first time I got a decent Luna, so naturally I have too many that I like now. Both True Sight. The first roll is Outlaw, Rifled, and Grenadier. And the second one is Rangefinder, Small Bore, and Hidden Hand. I would obviously like to get used to only one, and am concerned with how the slight 3-meter range nerf would change, if any, your evaluation." Okay, so just again to reiterate there, we've got two True Sight IS Lunas, one with Outlaw, Rifled, and Grenadier, the second with Rangefinder, Small Bore, and Hidden Hand. Your thoughts, Merc?
So he's got Outlaw, Rifled, and Grenadier, and then Rangefinder, Small Bore, and Hidden Hand. Well, if I'm not mistaken, the Rangefinder Small Bore is going to combine to be about equal to Rifled Barrel, I believe. It may be, I actually don't know. I don't know off the top of my head which one of those is going to get more range. But when it comes down to it, I guess that makes the choice Hidden Hand versus Outlaw Grenadier. That's actually a pretty hard question.
It really is.
Those are pretty two even IS Lunas in my mind. I'd probably go with the Outlaw Grenadier one with Rifled Barrel, honestly. I'm going to want those fast reloads after headshots. I like Grenadier on a primary a lot. I used to have an auto rifle with Grenadier, and I mean, just grenades for days, regardless of what your discipline is. It's really, really tremendous, especially in the current special ammo economy, where you're really relying on your primary a lot more heavily. And honestly, the reason I say that is because Hidden Hand is a 15% bonus. You're not going to be getting a huge, huge aim assist buff from IS Luna because the base aim assist is so low. So I think I'm going to go with the Outlaw Rifled Barrel Grenadier one.
Yeah, I really wrestled with this one too. I've been looking at it a little bit longer than you have. But ultimately, I came down the same way. I think that the combination of Rifled Barrel with Outlaw is a fantastic combination. Really leaves the gun with very little in the way of weaknesses. And then Grenadier, while maybe not my first choice in that slot, is definitely not a useless perk. And you know, getting a little bit of extra grenade recharge as you go through the match is not a bad thing by any means. So that's definitely where I'm going to land as well. So there you go, a wintry mix. Take the Outlaw Rifled Grenadier. Hopefully we got to you in time. I know you submitted these a week ago here, so we're a little behind getting to it, but that's our call. And that is going to do it for April's Patrons Corner. So we'll revisit this again next month, and that's that.
So moving on then, we're going to talk just ever so briefly about the Iron Banner guns. We have talked about these before. They're not new. It's the auto rifle, the unbent tree, the shotgun. I think I speak for everyone when I say don't even bother with the shotgun. It's low impact. It's called the Proud Spire. No matter what you do in terms of getting range perks, you're not going to have enough range. You're not going to have enough impact. The only real way that I even used to try to touch low impact shotguns is as a run and gun type thing. You know, lightweight, full auto, battle runner, crowd control type thing for PvE, clearing out ads. If you want to do that, fine. It's kind of only really a fun style to play when you're way over leveled. I wouldn't recommend it for any in-game activities. And in PvP, maybe in Supremacy or one of the Mayhem modes. But honestly, I'm just going to have to say stay away from the Proud Spire. I don't think it's in any way worth grinding for.
Yeah, 100% agreed. We really covered the Proud Spire when we covered Swordbreaker a couple weeks ago. That archetype is just not very good.
And then the auto rifle is the other thing. It's low impact, 102 archetype. Just like every weapon in this archetype, you're going to want braced frame, counterbalance. The column 3 perks don't really matter. You got lightweight, single point sling, quick draw. Any one of those is going to be fine. Just look at it as a bonus if you get one that you like. And column 1, I prefer the iron range scope on this just because zoom has such an effect on damage falloff on these low impact, high rate of fire auto rifles. So you want to get as much of it as you can. It is a much harder sight picture to use, but because auto rifles have a lower base zoom, it's not too bad. It's not like when you're using a high zoom scope on a scout rifle or something like that, where it makes it really difficult to use. So yeah, iron range scope, column 1, braced frame, column 2, whatever you want in column 3, and counterbalance in column 4. Should be pretty easy to get one of those with a good roll. I'm pretty sure the vendor is going to have one of his normal 3/4 rolls, where 3 of the 4 perks, well, in this case, it'll probably be 2 of the 4 perks, since you only need 3 to make a god roll. But yeah, this one's not too bad, actually. The 102 auto rifles are in a relatively good place. I've been having a good time with Necrochasm. My Arminius has felt a little bit more powerful. I think since the hand cannons got nerfed, autos have come just a tiny bit back into their own. Still not great, but good enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot more to say. I'll just add a couple of things. My personal take on this one, if you do get perfect balance instead of braced frame, it's not the end of the world. That's still a usable version of the gun. It's not going to be quite as stable. It's going to fall a little bit short of where you'd really like it to be, but still definitely usable and worth at least hanging on to until you get a better one. Then the only other thing I would say, just personal preferences, you know, if we get some kind of a crazy vendor roll, single point sling and quick draw are going to be your two best options in that column for my money. Quick draw, of course, not only gets the weapon both equipped and stowed faster, but also improves your aim down sights time pretty significantly. And then single point sling both equips and stows the weapon more quickly and also gives you a slightly faster strafe when you're aiming down sights, which can be very handy when you're dueling. So two perks to look out for. Snapshot's not terrible, and I guess, I mean, lightweight is lightweight as it always is. So there's that.
All right, and there's the Iron Banner weapons. Hopefully those guys help you out. Unfortunately, the Iron Banner weapons aren't quite as sought after now that Clever Dragon's gotten nerfed, but they are still there. I'm going to be playing Iron Banner, not for the weapons themselves, but for that sweet, sweet rank 5 so I can unlock it in my Age of Triumph book. I'm about 78% of the way done, and I'm trying to get to that 100% and do it quicker, or sooner rather than later. But talking about Age of Triumph, like we said, King's Fall is coming back this week, and it's bringing back all of its weapons. Not that these weapons couldn't already be brought up to max light, because they could, but they're all dropping now at max light, which is pretty, pretty nice. They have adept versions for the primaries, and the adept versions actually have one perk selected. So if you guys remember from King's Fall, the last perk on all these weapons is one of four. It's random. So there's a little bit of RNG in it. It makes for some interesting combinations, makes for some little bit different changes in playstyle if you get a different roll of the weapon. But the adept versions have one perk itself selected for you. So there is no RNG on the exotics. Just want to get that out there. But I guess we'll start at the very beginning with the scout rifle, the Doom of Chelchis, which I'm nearly 100% certain I'm pronouncing wrong. It is a void adept, if I'm not mistaken. And
yep, that's
this
right.
Gun is basically, in my mind, like a poor man's Vision of Confluence. I know some people are really, really high on it. I think we actually had a Twitter question about it saying that maybe Holtzman or someone was really, really high on it. And I'll be honest, I don't see it. I really don't. Do you know why he might find this gun so appealing?
So it was Zia Johan, whose name I'm probably also mispronouncing here, who had tweeted at us about that. And Holtzman actually replied, and he feels like the gun feels really good to shoot. That's what he likes about it. It just feels good to him. And I can get that. I can see that. I use Doom of Chelchis a lot at the beginning of year two, because for a while I couldn't get any primaries to drop higher, and I didn't have anything that I really wanted to infuse it into first, so I was just kind of waiting for something better. So I used it quite a bit in the raid for a few months, and then, you know, I started getting more highlight drops and kind of moved on. So the one thing that does make it somewhat useful is just that raid perk, Will of Light, that deals bonus damage against taken enemies. That's the only thing I can think of that really makes it stand out to me.
So I think they kind of learned their lesson with Crota's End, and they didn't make the raid perk, the bonus perk, take up a slot. But what they did instead was they gave every single raid weapon the same perk called Cocoon in column 2. On some weapons, it's incredibly useful. On some weapons, it's not very useful at all. Well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say not very useful, because it's always useful.
Right.
You know, it's never not nice to have your gun reloaded for you automatically. I take that back. But there are perks I would rather have in its place on a decent amount of the weapons, particularly the primaries. But basically what it does is when you stow your weapon for a set amount of time, it gives you a little chime notification, and then you pull your weapon back out and it automatically has the ammo in it. So instead of having to reload a weapon, you just switch to another weapon and then switch back and your weapon is loaded. That means you can constantly be firing. So it is a useful perk. Probably more so in PvE than in PvP, but in PvP it does have its uses. So every single weapon, like I just mentioned, has that perk in column 2. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So Doom of Chelchis, let's go over the stats for it real fast. It's one of the mid-impact scout rifles. That means 2 crits, 2 bodies is what kills in PvP. 1 second flat time to kill. It is one of those weird guns that has 3 barrel perks that increase impact: linear comp, field choke, accurized ballistics. That means it's going to be doing 63 damage per crit shot and 42 per body, as opposed to 61 and 41. There is no change in time to kill, no change in the effects at all. Doesn't really do anything, doesn't really change anything. Stat-wise comparisons, the range is awful. I actually think it has the worst base range of any scout rifle in the game, which is pretty terrible. It's at 51. Stability is not great at 37. And take into account that these perks are... the base perks that are shown in the database are actually not often the perks that the gun can ever get because of the barrel perks. Every one of those barrel perks takes away stability. So it's actually not even possible for it to have that base stability that it lists in the database. And the same thing with aim assist. It listed a 65 aim assist, but you can't get 65 aim assist because all 3 barrel perks take away 10 aim assist. So it's only got 55. The one real bonus that this gun has is a huge mag size, 20, which is absolutely bonkers for a mid-impact. But if I'm being honest here, I'd take a Suros DIS-43 or a Vision of Confluence over this gun any day. And talking about feel, the Vision of Confluence to me feels, you know, worlds better than this one. But that's just my own opinion.
Yeah. I don't really have a whole lot to say against the Doom of Chelchis, aside from the fact that I don't really have a whole lot to say for it. There's just not anything that really stands out to me about this gun that makes it special or that makes it optimal in some situation. A couple of notes that I had. Cocoon, I don't have the exact timing on. I forgot to go back and check that, and I'm not going to do it in the middle of an episode. A little bit of research on Google indicates it's about 5 to 6 seconds, which kind of jives with my memory of it. It will, I believe, trigger a little note on your screen letting you know. It's either that or it's an audio cue or both. Regardless, I can always tell when it triggers subconsciously now, because I'm used to it from having to take the Doom everywhere for 3 months. So that's just a note that I had there. I did want to say good job to you, Merc, on getting your spreadsheet updated and enhanced a little bit to reflect things like those barrel perks, modifying the stats in ways that make it impossible for, you know, what the armory or what the database says that they are to actually be in the game. Because if I do go look at my Doom Chelchis, the stats do not match the armory, which could be confusing. But that's explained now, and the spreadsheet reflects that. So good work.
Yeah, thank you. We talked about that before the show. And for those of you who are familiar with my spreadsheet, the weapon stat ones, I now have it upgraded with all of the weapons that came back, all of the reprised raid weapons. They are color-coded to match their corresponding raids. And I went through a while back, and I noticed that some of the weapons, like the Doom of Chelchis, had 3 barrel perks that all had the same effect on impact, the same effect on range, similar effects on stability, the same effect on aim assist. And that basically was making it impossible for the guns to have the stats that were listed in the database. These guns were showing up as having high aim assist, and they really didn't. They had 10 less aim assist than was listed in the database, or they had 9 less stability, or 3... or 9 more stability or something like that. So I just went through and I tried to change as much as possible to reflect what is actually able to be run with in game. So every single weapon in there, I've tried to look over as best I can. If I miss anything, don't hesitate to let me know. You can shout out to me on Twitter or Reddit and I'll go in there and fix it. But what was really a pain was really the only way to test most of the stuff was actually to go in game and to equip the weapons themselves, and then look at the armory values, and then look at the differences. And it was very time-consuming and laborious. But I am glad, because it made the spreadsheet just so much more accurate. And now I know for a fact that the weapon values I'm looking at are correct, and what I'm comparing with are correct. So pretty happy about that. But if we're done with the Doom of Chelchis, that brings us to the pulse rifle, the Smite of Moran. It's actually not a great pulse rifle, but it's a Solar Adept, and it has Firefly in column 4. It is, I believe, the only pulse rifle in the game that can roll with Firefly.
It is.
PvP, I don't suggest this weapon at all, but for PvE, I am intrigued. It's got linear compensator, so it's going to make the recoil direction, which is already very high, basically perfect. It's going to be straight up and down. It's got a high mag size of 33, pretty decent range. It doesn't have great stability, but that vertical recoil direction is going to be make it nice and easy for you to control. And column 3, I recommend hand-loaded. There's not really a bunch of great perks there. It's really just, by default, that's kind of the one you should choose. But then, like I said, column 4, Firefly. I mean, Firefly combined with Solar Burn on a primary, yes. I will be looking out for this gun just for PvE activities.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they made the actual Adept version Solar as well, just so that there's not any kind of a burn confusion going on, I guess. Not something I'd ever considered before, but it does kind of come up with a Smite of Moraine. I've actually been running a Firefly Smite for a while, off and on, and I will say that my experience in-game absolutely corroborates your advice there. In PvP, it is at best a gimmick, and most of the time completely ineffective. It just can't compete with any kind of a semi-meta weapon in a 1v1 situation. That said, in PvE, it's strangely satisfying to be firing bursts and watching Firefly explosions happen. It's just not an experience that you get with any other weapon, which really does make this one stand out in a big way for raids, I think, because you've got a lot of ad clearing ability out of a pulse rifle, which is something that a lot of us use a lot in the Crucible. So I think there's some feel that you can translate over there from one to the other, so that you don't have to learn too many different weapons in a really deep way.
Well, I was going to say, the reason you're talking about it not being good in PvP, and I forgot to mention this earlier, it's a mid-impact pulse. Yeah. So hopscotch pilgrim archetype means super slow time to kill, 1.00 seconds. It takes 3 bursts to kill. Technically, it takes 2.33, 6 crits, and a body shot. But the thing is Hawksaw can kill in 3 bursts faster. Clever Dragon can kill in 3 bursts faster. Mida can kill in 4 shots faster. Hand Cannons can kill in 3 shots faster. Just everything kills faster than it except for mid-impact scouts. So that's the reason it's not competitive. Just want to throw that out there since we missed it earlier.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Good point there. Actually, one other thing I wanted to throw in, I don't know if we missed really, since we're kind of just digging into this, but Will of Light, the raid perk that's on all of these guns, deals bonus damage to Taken. That is a 10% damage bonus in PvE, which is not insubstantial, especially when you've got those really high PvE damage numbers stacking up. You know, 10% could be a couple hundred damage depending on the enemy. So that is definitely meaningful. Has that, and it makes this probably one of my recommendations for any raid. If you like pulse rifles, I would consider this gun definitely as a decent raid weapon.
Moving on from that to the hand cannon, Zeuli's Bane. It's a Void Adept, so it's basically, and it's low impact as well, which means 2 crits and a body shot for 0.8 second time to kill in PvP. That means it's basically, since it's a Void Adept, it's basically exactly like Word of Crota. Yep. This gun was the first gun I got from the King's Fall raid originally, and I want to let you know that it sucks. It is awful, a terrible weapon. On paper, it doesn't look that bad. It's got really high mag size of 11. The aim assist is super high of 90. So is the equip speed. The stability is pretty great. The recoil direction is decent. But the range is 15. And the reload speed is 16, which means you basically have to take advantage of Cocoon to put any good use out of this gun. It is abysmally slow to reload, and not only that, the damage drop-off starts what feels like 2 feet in front of your face. The perks are not great. Accuraz Ballistics is the barrel perk that I would choose. It actually doesn't have 3 barrel perks that all increase impact. I believe it also has like smart drift control or something, yep, which further neuters range, so please don't use that. And then you've got a choice between hand-loaded or reinforced barrel. Well, reinforced barrel gives it more range. It's still not even going to make it competitive. I think you're only going to manage to get to somewhere around 40 range maybe, so it's not going to be great. But it kills the stability, which is one of the whole reasons you would want to use a low-impact hand cannon, is for the spammability at close range, and reinforced barrel kills the stability, so you can't even spam it as much. There's also hand-loaded, which of course gives you a much smaller boost to range, but doesn't take away your stability. And then it's got Firefly, which is, it's basically its only saving grace in Calm Floor. An interesting perk called Leech Life, where if you get a triple kill, it gives you a boost of health back and starts recharging it. And then Hipfire, which I guess if it's trying to be a poor man's last word, go for it. But I mean, all around, I do not recommend this weapon. I don't recommend using it. It's like an exercise in futility every time. There's so many better hand cannons out there. I can't ever imagine why you would choose this one.
Yeah, I never really liked the feel of Zali's Bane in year two when it first came out. I got one fairly early on as well, and it just, I don't know, it went into my vault pretty quickly, and I haven't really taken it out since then. I just haven't had any interest in using it. It is worth noting that Life Leech is the Adept perk from that final slot, so you don't get Firefly or Hipfire, though you do get Life Leech, which I guess in PvE, in theory, is not a bad perk to have. In some situations, it does. If you manage to one-shot three red bar adds in a row quickly, then you can get a little bit of healing and start health regen. So, I mean, probably choose a different gun.
Speaking of guns that you shouldn't play with, and unfortunately this is seems to be a recurrent theme, ever since Vault of Glass, where every single weapon was like the best weapon that had ever come out, they kind of have toned that back a bit. And the guns that come out of raids haven't been great. There's been a couple of good ones. Crota's End had a couple of good ones. Obviously, it had the Black Hammer back then. But King's Fall probably, in my opinion, had the worst set of raid weapons that a raid has seen. And Anguish of Dristan, which is the auto rifle, it's a high impact auto rifle, Arc Adept, is just like a total example of that. It's got great recoil direction, above average stability, which is nice, but then it doesn't have great range, which hurts it because it's a high impact auto, and part of their strength is supposed to be the great range. It's got really low mag size, only 26, the aim assist is low at 45, low reload speed. The impact increasing barrel perks, again, it's got linear comp, accurized ballistics, field choke. You definitely want linear comp for the boost to recoil direction. It doesn't do a ton to help it. It doesn't decrease the time to kill at all. It does make it a little bit more forgiving. I think it goes from, I want to say like 6 and 2 to 5 and 3 or something like that when you use it. I mean, it's not tremendously huge different. It just makes it a tiny bit more forgiving. As usual, Cocoon, you got a choice between Fitted Stock or Braced Frame in Column 3 for increased stability. Fitted Stock doesn't give you very much. Braced Frame gives you a ton, but Braced Frame also drops your mag size down to, I think, 20.
And that's a no-no.
Which is really, really
small. Do not do that. That's a trap.
Yeah. And in PvE, that will destroy your ability to use this gun. And in PvP, it will make it to where you basically have to land all your shots. It is not forgiving. Column 4's got life support. Personally, a perk I really, really like. Crowd control, another perk I like on auto rifles. Eye of the Storm, passable if you don't get one of the other two. But overall, I can't imagine a reason why you would want to use this gun.
So I want to point something out here that I guess kind of bugs me about high-impact auto rifles just in general. One of the ways that I like to assess a weapon's usability in the game, especially in PvP, is, I guess you could think of it as bullet efficiency. I think that's how some people talk about it. But I like to look at it in terms of encounters. And the way that I measure out how many encounters a weapon is good for before I have to reload is, you know, how many bullets is it going to take me to kill optimally? How many is it going to take me to kill realistically? So how many people can I kill before I have to reload this gun and I have to be using cover? I can't get caught out in the open with my pants down. or my clip out, you know, whatever the case might be. And high impact auto rifles are, they're friggin' worthless. Like they're just awful at it. None of them have anything resembling a semi-competitive efficiency. I mean, even like compare them to like mid-impact hand cannons, which are probably one of the on average weaker hand cannons in general. Really struggle with bullet efficiency, just in terms of not the damage. The damage per bullet is great, but the number of bullets it takes to kill. You know, if you add in a miss here and there, you know, at best you're getting maybe two, maybe three on a really high mag encounters out of a hand cannon. With a high impact auto rifle, you're getting two at best, and auto rifles tend to lose a lot of bullets. A lot of bullets miss randomly because they are bullet hoses. And so with only 26 to begin with, I mean, that is just barely passable if you have just, you know, even pretty good shooting. If you have optimal shooting, that leaves you six rounds left over, right? So if your shooting is anything less than perfect headshots every time you pull the trigger, you are going to be in trouble after you fight one person. It's a problem. And so here's the second part of this complaint. I know I'm going on a big rant here, but Anguish of Dristan Adept. Like, I don't know who I need to tweet at about this, but they picked crowd control. And I guess that makes sense, right? Because maybe then if you kill one person with a full magazine, then the second person doesn't eat up quite as many of your bullets. But, you know, it's a 15% damage bonus, so I guess they're going to save you 1.5 bullets if you're shooting optimally, which is not enough to actually matter. Except that maybe you're killing that second person slightly faster than you normally would. But I guess, no, I'm not even doing that, right? Because it only lasts for three... Well, it lasts for 3 seconds. Yeah, you could use it. You could use it that way.
Yeah, maybe enough time.
But that's such a tiny, tiny benefit. And then you have to reload. You can't chain it. There's no third kill that you're going to get out of that. You don't have enough bullets. So crowd control is just barely usable on this gun. Why not, you know, go with life support? Which... honestly, you're going to need, because you're probably going to be close to dead after killing anybody. Or even Eye of the Storm would be more useful, I think, than crowd control in PvP. That's my take on it. That's my complaint / end rant.
Yeah, and it's a rant that makes sense. It's just not a good gun. Zaoli's Bane and Anguish of Dristan are two of probably just the most avoidable of weapons in the game, which is a shame, but that's just what it is. Leaving the primaries, moving into the specials. At least for specials, we have a couple of good options to use. Defiance of Yasmin, sniper rifle, mid impact. That means it can revive snipe. It cannot super snipe any armored supers. It's actually a really good gun. I very, very highly recommend it for a couple of reasons. Low zoom scope. It's got a 5x zoom scope by default. It's got pretty decent stability and aim assist. High equip speed, real high equip speed. Very high inventory size. Just normal mag size of 4. Its only drawback is the range is pretty low. And again, the reload speed is low, but that's what Cocoon's for. You know, aim assist is 59. Even with the barrel perks that increase impact. The inventory is 70, though. That means with just a couple of perks, you can actually, I believe, be spawning in with 12. I think if you use two sniper perks, you spawn in with 12. If you use a special perk, you spawn in with 12. If you use a special perk, not only do you spawn in with 12, but you pick up 5 per brick, which is really, really great. So the inventory is a massive plus there. On top of that, it also comes standard with injection mold, which actually increases the ready speed of the weapon, the ADS speed of the weapon. So that's great. I mean, it's a poor man's version of quick draw, basically.
Yeah.
And then you have a choice between life support, hot swap, Firefly. Firefly is not a great PvP perk, although it is funny. Life support is pretty good. Some people swear by hot swap. I want to clarify, I recommend this perk because other people swear by it. I myself have never been able to conclusively prove that it does anything. So I just want to throw that out there. I know some people swear it changes their game. I just haven't been able to find any empirical evidence of that being the case. And I'm a very firm believer in the fact that the placebo effect is a real thing, especially in a game like Destiny. That being said, if you get hot swap, I mean, you're not missing out on a ton of other stuff. And I know a lot of people like it. It might be your bread and butter. You might hit all the quick scopes with it. I have no idea. But it is an option in column four.
Yeah, Defiance of Aim Assist, as people like to call it, is one of those guns that just really stands out in a big way. And I say this being avidly not a sniper in PvP. The scope is a little bit different, right? The appearance of it is very much King's Fall-esque. But once you get over that, it is so open and so easy to use. And the stats are just so overall solid. Completely above and beyond anything else in the archetype. If you use another sniper rifle in this archetype, you need a Defiance of Yasmin. Like, I'm not telling you that you should probably get one. I'm saying that you need to own one. Because it is hands down the best sniper rifle in its archetype. It is stat-wise competitive with high-impact sniper rifles, the only thing causing it to lose that fight, of course, being less damage. Like, that's the one downside to it. Otherwise, I would put it up against any other sniper rifle in the game for any other purpose. You know, if revive sniping is not a thing, if you play all sixes all the time, get yourself a Defiance. It is the thing to have. On the hot swap note, that's always an interesting debate to me. You're very diplomatic about it, Merc, but I mean, I've never seen any proof that it does anything for initial accuracy either. I believe we had some conversations about it back when there was a lot of discussion about aim assist and accuracy, and maybe this is something we need again to revisit. I think we've been talking about that for a while, but I believe you had explained some of your testing results for hot swap showed that the accuracy reset between shots more quickly with hot swap.
That is correct, and I have a theory of what hot swap does. I was just unable to test it. So when you are at rest, meaning you're not shooting anything, you're not moving, your gun has what I believe to be a base projectile accuracy, meaning how likely the projectile is to either go directly dead center of your accuracy cone or to get the maximum deflection from aim assist. And say when you're at rest, it's like 90%, which means, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to go dead center or get the maximum deflection from your aim assist or some high value of it. I don't think it's actually 9 times out of 10 it's going to go dead center. I think that it's got a higher chance of going near the center.
Right.
And I think what hot swap might do is prolong that immediately after swapping a weapon, which would in fact mean that immediately after swapping a weapon, you would be able to get the maximum amount of aim assist deflection, or bullet magnetism, as I call it. Some other people refer to it as increased hitbox size, but bullet magnetism in my mind, because of the way Destiny draws the actual line of the bullet itself. I think hot swap might do that. Unfortunately, I just really haven't found a great way to test that in game. All I could do was collect clips and watch them, and I just never saw that much of a difference between a quick scope that happened 5 seconds after I pulled the gun out and one that happened 1 second after I pulled the gun out. To me, when I was reviewing the clips frame by frame, it looked like the bullet deflected the same amount when I was doing it. So that was my theory. I hadn't been able to prove it, so I've held off on putting it out there as concrete evidence. And in the meantime, every time I talk about hot swap, I say the same things. I haven't been able to prove that it does anything.
It's interesting how many different ways there are to interact with the stats in the game, how many different types of perks Bungie's come up with, and how difficult some of them are to test. Makes me very excited, though, for Destiny 2 down the road, for all of the new, there's going to be so much to discover about the way that game works. There's going to be so much that's going to be familiar but a little bit different, and hopefully a lot more that is completely different and completely new.
We're going to have a work cut out for us. That is for damn
absolutely
sure. All right. Anything else for Defiance of Yasmin, or you want to move on to the shotgun?
Let's keep rolling here. I could rant about Yasmin all day, though.
Yeah. Long story short, go grab yourself one. It's a great weapon. One of the few great weapons from this raid.
Absolutely.
Shotgun, mid-impact, Silence of Aarn, which always reminds me of Aaron from the Key and Peele sketch, Substitute Teacher, which struck a chord with me because for a period of time, I was a substitute teacher, and I did struggle with names like that. So the Silence of Aaron, it's not a good shotgun. It's got abysmal race range, 14. The best you can get the max range up to is 17 if you use hand-loaded. The column 4 perks, close and or personal, army of 1, leech life, surrounded. Leech life and surrounded, leech life might be okay in PvE, and surrounded, I can't imagine you ever finding a great use for that. Close and or personal is okay for PvP, but really, if you're taking this gun into PvP, you have got some issues. You have definitely got to want to handicap yourself, because I cannot imagine, perhaps besides the Proud Spire from Iron Banner, too many worse shotguns to take into PvP at this exact point in time. So another one of those guns that I just say, just stay away. Don't even bother. Don't use it. Just stay away.
Yeah, I will say that I have been killed by this shotgun in the Crucible, and the person was standing right next to me. So that's really the only explanation I have for it, is that I shouldn't have let them get that close. But
so they snuck up on you.
Yeah, basically. You know, I was shooting somebody else, and they walked up and just blasted me. But that's about the only way that you're going to get a kill with this gun in PvP, is if the person's not looking at you, you can absolutely, you know, walk up and kill them. That's why I run Blade Dancer, because it's so much fun, so much more fun to stab people. But yeah, I don't have anything to add meaningful about this gun. It is what
nope,
it is.
I think we can pretty much bump away from it. Moving on to the Fusion Rifle. This is another one of the ones that's actually pretty great. It was, for a period of time, a really great Fusion Rifle. Kind of a sleeper in the Fusion Rifle community in terms of how good it was, because it was one of the few Fusions that could kill in 4 bolts. It's a little bit worse off now, because there are obviously a lot of Fusions that can kill in 4 bolts. Praetorian Foil just came back. Obviously, Darkblade Spite exists. Sally V, perhaps the most famous of all of them, and in my opinion, the best out of all of them. But it's got a really high damage per bolt. It does 50, and the actual reason for that is because of a barrel perk that increases impact. Once again, it's got linear comp, accurized ballistics, field choke, which means you're guaranteed to get that 4 bolt damage threshold. It's got above average range. Mag size is okay at 5. Really bad stability, really, really, really bad stability, really bad aim assist, really bad reload speed. And that's why, even though it's a decent weapon, it was better back in the day before there were more options. Nowadays, there are options that are better than it. But that 4-bolt kill, if you don't have anything else, is something that a lot of people really, really appreciate. Perk-wise, linear comp always for the vertical recoil control. Braced frame in column 3, hands down, there is no debate. You need that extra stability. Even there's no range perks that you can get on this one anyways. So even if you're one of those people, I can control the stability on your own, well, that's fantastic, but you can't get a range perk anyway, so just use braced frame. Make it easier on yourself. Column 4, hip fire, life support, hot swap. Again, hot swap, one of those things, just like with the sniper. I haven't been able to prove that it does anything. Some people swear by it. I don't know. If you want to use it, it's up to you. Hip fire is actually a perk I like a lot on fusion rifles. Life support just in general is a nice perk, although it's a gamble. So that's the Midas Reckoning. If you want to use it, I say go ahead. I think it's a good gun. It's not a game breaker. I don't advocate it quite as much as I do the sniper rifle, though.
Yeah, this is one, I guess, that never really stood out for me. I think you're probably accurate when you call it a sleeper, in the sense that it's a gun that a lot of people missed back in the day that really probably had an opportunity to shine, but yeah, never really got that day in the sun, and it's not going to get it now, unfortunately. There's too much competition in that area. There's too many really good fusion rifles. Really, too many people have the most famous fusion rifle of all, Sally V. I mean, it is what it is. So I can't again add too much more. Cocoon does what it does. Will of Light does what it does. If you like using fusion rifles in PvE and you're going to be fighting Taken, and this week we know that you are, then you know, by all means, enjoy it. Have fun with it. It's going to be doing a lot of damage. But that's about the best thing I can say for it.
And other specials, unfortunately, there is no sidearm for the Taken King. I was very upset by that. I was looking forward to seeing a Taken-themed sidearm, but it was not to be, which means we move on to the two heavy weapons that come from the raid. They're actually not too bad. The rocket launcher is passable-ish. It's called Elilim's Frenzy. It's one of those high rate of fire with a very high blast radius, but a pretty slow velocity. Blast radius is 96, almost maxed out. Velocity is 41, which is definitely on the low side. Good inventory. Mag size of 2 by default, but it can roll with tripod. Basically, any of the barrel perks, you're just going to have to look at them on your own. I recommend hard launch, but you're just going to have to see if you're willing to sacrifice some of that excess blast radius for a little bit more velocity. If you are, by all means, go for it. Javelin is definitely the go-to perk in Column 3 because, like I said, the blast radius isn't great by default, so you definitely want Javelin. Column 4, Tripod is probably the first choice just so you have 3 in the magazine. But you can also use Cluster Bombs for PvP or Tracking for PvE. I know I've talked about it almost 3 weeks in a row now, but I have actually been enjoying Cluster Bombs in PvP. And Tracking is pretty much considered Tier 1 in PvE, so whichever one of those you want. It's really up to you. It's just not all around great. I'd call it an above average weapon. I think there are better rocket launchers out there, but maybe you haven't had one, or you just get this one to drop at 400 or something like that, and you really want to give it a shot. It's not terrible.
Yeah, the one thing that stands out for me about, and I always have to stop before I say the name of Elilim's Frenzy. I always have to think about that. I mean, Cocoon really is the only thing that, for me, makes it stand out from other rocket launchers. It is really nice to be able to shoot some rockets and then stow it, pull out my sniper rifle, do some damage with that, and then stow that, and then rocket launcher's reloaded, ready to go. It's a fun little kind of... If you know you're going to burn through your sniper ammo, you're trying to DPS a boss, you can get a little bit of extra damage out that way, if you've got the Elilims. That said, I mean, you know, there are better weapons. Yeah. Yeah, Cocoon is one of those perks I really wish that we could see on some other weapons, some better weapons. I feel like it's a little underutilized on the guns that came out of King's Fall. It's like they gave this perk to all of these guns, but they didn't really build them around taking advantage of this perk very well. So, it is what it is. Rocket Launcher is probably the one place you can really get the most benefit from it. He said before we talk about...
The Quillum's Terminus. Because for a while there, the Quillum's Terminus was one of the most popular machine guns in PvP, and with good reason. It's a high-impact machine gun, which means you basically want a barrel perk that increases impact so you can drop the body shot time to kill down to 4 body shots, 0.5 seconds. Makes these things a piece of cake to use, totally easy. And as luck would have it, it comes with linear compensator, accurized ballistics, and field choke, so you don't have a choice. You're guaranteed 4 body shot kills. Use linear compensator again for the increase to recoil direction, make it vertical. It's got pretty good stability or pretty good inventory for a machine gun. 50 or 35, that's decent. Stability is okay. Doesn't have great range, doesn't have great aim assist. The mag size is pretty low, but kind of standard for a weapon in this archetype. It's 31. The reload speed is bad, but I mean, people were tearing it up in PvP with this gun. For the exact reason you said, Cocoon. They would be shooting the machine gun and just switch to their primary and continue shooting and then switch back and start shooting the machine gun again. totally negated that slow reload speed. And for a while, Quillam's Terminus was unbelievably popular. I mean, it was, you know, it was like the truth of that meta. You just saw several of them every single game. You heard the distinctive sound. And I think it's still a good gun. I would definitely use it myself. It'd be something I would recommend to other people to use as well.
Yeah, Quillam's Terminus, and I will say here, we have a little pronunciation disagreement. I've always thought of it as Quillam's. But I do hear people say Quillam's. I don't know what's correct. It's a game. There's no correct pronunciation.
If I had to guess, it's probably you and not me. It looks like it's Q-U-L-L-I-M, which Quillam's makes sense. But Quillam's, screw it. I don't care at this point in time. I pronounce everything in this game how I want to.
But I mean, you know, until we hear Bungie say it out loud and somebody's probably going to tweet us and say, they did, here's a clip. You're both wrong. Yeah. But until then, until that happens, we can both continue to pronounce it differently. So Quillam's Terminus, as some individuals call it, is a machine gun that we did see like literally everyone running in PvP in year two. And in PvE even, it saw a lot of play. It's a really good machine gun. It's very easy to use, you get used to it, and it becomes kind of hard to go to a gun that is lesser in many ways. The guaranteed 0.5 second time to kill is something that I had forgotten about because I've not really used machine guns very much for a while. But I do have a couple of Quillam's Terminuses.
Yeah, I think it'd be Termini. It's like octopus, right? Octopi. Termini.
I think so. I think that's right. I have a couple of those laying about on my Titan, aka my second vault, and gonna have to maybe break one of those out here, get it leveled up, and put it to work.
And part of the reason it was so popular was because it does come with a pretty decent perk set too. Extended mag is in column 3, which you're definitely going to want to use to bump up that pretty low mag size. Column 4, you've got quite a few choices. Persistence is probably the one I'd pick, especially in conjunction with extended mag. It's going to be amazing in PvE, especially if you're doing DPS on something. In PvP, it will definitely come into effect, and you'll start to feel almost like you're shooting a little full auto scout once you get persistence to activate, even if you have to waste a few shots to get it procced. Eye of the Storm is like persistence, but only when you're low health. Therefore, I don't recommend it as much. Army of One is also okay. If there's ever going to be a gun you're getting quick unassisted kills with, it's a machine gun that kills in half a second with body shots. And then Leech Life is great if you're using it to clean up adds in PvE.
Yep, I've got an Eye of the Storm one. I'm happy with it. I'd love to have persistence. That'd be fantastic. That would be my god roll. But you know, I'm not mad about any Quillam's Terminus. Really, it's just always a good gun.
All right. Well, that's basically it for the King's Fall weapons. Talking about what's upcoming in the future. Like we said, NK Cougar is coming back. Next week, we're going to rehash the Wrath of the Machine weapons. But those are the most modern. Those are the most recent. Probably not going to spend too much time on it. We are going to at some point go back and discuss some more in-depth topics that don't necessarily have to do with specific weapons, things like range, accuracy. I've got a couple of ideas for some theory crafting for the Crucible. I'd like to talk about things not to do in the Crucible, spend an episode doing that, some more tips and tricks, continue the series How to Get Good in the Crucible, which we kind of dropped off on once we started getting all the information about Destiny 2 coming out and Age of Triumph and stuff like that. I'd also like to do an episode on the actual theory of meta itself, not just talking about ease of use versus time to kill and things like that, but also how players decide what strategies to use and not. So you can look forward to that stuff in the future, along with some massive breakdown post. But that's it for me, Kutch. Do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I just, you know, I guess the only other thing I would throw into what you said there is it's amazing, 38 episodes in, that we still have so much to talk about in Destiny 1. We're almost going to run out of time here. We've still had people asking about coverage for the vendor weapons, wanting to know what to look out for now that those are refreshing on a weekly basis. There's so much to cover. We're really going to be packing it in before D2 drops, and it all becomes Totally irrelevant. So,
all right, guys, but that's it for me. Thank you for tuning in. Stop by next week. We'll be talking about Wrath of the Machine and maybe some other things. We'll let you guys know in the future. But it was great having you here tonight. And remember to check out, I guess I'll do it this time, remember to check out the rest of the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network. Got a lot of great guys in there, Destiny Lorecast, Destiny Down Under, the RNG cast, the Destiny Tracker Podcast itself. They're all great, fantastic people, so don't hesitate to give them a listen once you're done with us. And like I said, thanks, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace out, Guardians.